Welcome to the Spirit of Bible Study from the East End Church of Christ. We want to invite you to our services. We have Bible study on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, have classes for all ages, worship at 10 o'clock, and then again Sunday evening at 6. Our midweek Bible studies at 7 on Wednesdays, and you would be our honored guest. Again, we have Bible classes for all age groups. I want to make you aware of our internet presence, pioneerpreachers.com. There you can hear the gospel preached by audio 24 hours a day, pioneerpreachers.com. Also, if you'd like to hear specific Bible lessons, you can look at wsoj.net and type in a keyword, a certain subject, and find a lesson and listen to it that way. Also, here locally in the McMinnville-Warren County area, 102.5 on the FM dial, you can hear the gospel preached there all the way around the clock. We have a Bible column in the local paper, the Southern Standard, every Sunday, so be sure you look for that. And then one other item, the Bible Call program, where you use your touch-tone phone, 473-2255. There you can key in a certain number corresponding to a lesson. You can find the listing of all of those lessons in the yellow pages of your phone book. Just look under Churches, and you'll find two pages full of Bible topic subjects with a number beside each one. Just key in the number, and you can listen to about a 4, 5, 6 minute lesson on that Bible topic. My name is Garland Robinson. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 we read, "For even hereinto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Friend, the Apostle Paul says that he was a follower of Christ, and we need to follow Christ as well. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And of those who shepherd the flock, the elders, we are told that we should imitate their faith. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. One of the reasons Christ left heaven and came to this world was to set a pattern, to give us an example that we might follow him. After Peter exhorted us to follow his steps, he wrote of Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. And again in Hebrews 4:15, we read that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So Christ set the proper example, the perfect example for us in so many different ways, and then he tells us that we need to walk after him and follow his steps. Well, how do we do that? We do it by imitating his life, by looking at his way, heeding his teaching. And when we do that, we learn that we follow Christ by doing the will of God. Jesus did. That was characteristic of Jesus. He did the will of the Father. His prayer in Luke 22:42 was, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now that's more than just a prayer. That was his way of life. He said in John 4:34, "My meat," that is my job that he had come to do in this world, "my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." And in John 6:38, he said, "I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." So without questioning or quibbling, Jesus did the will of the Father. We read in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them also that obey him." If we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to walk in obedience to the Father. Jesus promised, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. We become children of God through obedience, and as children, we must continue to obey. We read in 1 Peter 1 again, that we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. The truth is the Word of God, the Gospel. And as Jesus lived for the spiritual and did not live for himself, that marks the pathway for us. And he said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16 and verse 24. So we follow Jesus by doing the will of the Father.
But then also we follow Christ by serving others, by not being selfish, helping others. When the disciples argued about different positions of honor, Jesus told them, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant." And then he pointed to himself as an example. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20 and verse 27 and 28. Peter said, "The Lord went about doing good, and to a world that was lost in sin, the Son of God came," and tells us why. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Luke 19 and verse 10. That was his whole purpose in coming, to save mankind from their sin. Then we read in Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for us, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world according to the will of God the Father." So if we follow in his steps, then we're going to have to do as he did. You remember the lawyer, the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 27? He said to love your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? It's the one who has need. Whoever it is, a total stranger as far as that's concerned, if they have need, to help, to serve. Be interested in them. To love your neighbor is to serve him, to help him and encourage him. The great judgment scene in Matthew 25 pictures Christ pronouncing a sentence upon those that saw the hungry and gave them no food, saw the thirsty and gave them no drink, saw the stranger and took them not in. These are not the immoral people as liars and thieves, sexual perverts, murderers. They simply did not serve their fellow man. The admonition then is clear. If we are going to follow the Lord, then we serve others. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. We are to imitate the way of our Savior. We do that by imitating His purity. The worst charge the enemies of Jesus could ever bring against Him was that He was a friend of publicans and sinners. But even though He faced those same temptations we face, He did no sin. Speaking of Him as our great High Priest, Hebrews 7 and verse 26 states that we have not an high priest as cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. There's no spirit of retaliation in Jesus when he was abused. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. 1 Peter 2:23. And that is his life story. That's what he commends for us. Knowing that friendship with the world is enmity with God, Jesus exhorts us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, James 1:27. The Lord told the disciples, "Ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." And being cleansed from sin, we ought to abstain from every appearance, all forms of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. As members of the body of Christ, the description of the church that we read about in Ephesians 5 is one that is pure, that has been cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, and that Jesus will one day present it to God the Father as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it is holy and without blemish. But that's only done if we, as His people, the redeemed, follow His purity of life. We're also to follow Jesus by imitating His life in every way. When Jesus saw pain and sorrow, hurt of any kind, He was moved by it. He cared. When He saw a group of people who were distressed and scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd, Jesus was moved with compassion for them. We teach humility just as He taught humility. We live a humble life just as He lived a humble life. When He washed the disciples' feet, He said, "I've given you an example that you should do, even as I have done unto you." John 13. Peter writes, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Jesus came from heaven to die for us because He loves us. And He tells us in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He also commends that love to us, to love one another, even as I have loved you. John 13:34. When Jesus taught a lesson on how to live, He set the pattern for us by living that very command. Jesus teaches us to pray, and He gave us an example. The Bible often says that He went out into a deserted place, and there He prayed. Before choosing the 12 apostles, He prayed all night. When He was pressed by the needs of the multitudes and seeking His help, the Bible said He woke up long before daybreak, and He went out and He prayed. The Lord teaches us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in His will. He showed us His way by going to that old rugged cross and there dying in our stead. He tells us to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32. And from the cross we hear again His words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Luke 23 and verse 34. To follow the footsteps of Jesus means that we're going to go one day home to heaven. That's where Jesus went. At the news that Jesus was leaving the apostles, they were upset. And they asked Jesus, where are you going? And the Lord said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus went back to heaven to be with God. And that is where He is now. And Paul writes of Him in Romans 8 and verse 34, it is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather that He was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God. And we're going to be like the Lord. We would so live to be able to go home to heaven and be with our Heavenly Father one day. What a blessed assurance that we can go to be where He is. But that is His promise, that He went to prepare a place and we can go there too. You remember how Paul wrote in Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I am troubled. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, what a grand, wonderful place that is, to go and be with Christ. But just as Jesus looked forward to going back to the Father, so we should seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. When we truly seek those things that are spiritual, we seek them first more than anything else in the life, then we can so live to be righteous in God's sight because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, and He washed us from our sins in His own blood. We can do that when we follow Christ. For that is what He did throughout His entire life on this world. Jesus invited, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we follow His steps, and we do that throughout our lives, then we have the assurance that we can be able to go home to be with Him in heaven forevermore. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy begot us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. When we follow His steps, we're following the path that leads home, a path that will go back to God. Friend, you can do that by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Won't you do that? My name is Garland Robinson.